Effin' Podcast about sitcoms. I'm your host, Michelle Lykowski. I'm joined by Stan Lykowski and Luke Ward and Dan McInerney. And I think I said it right that time. And we are going to eventually discuss Ted Lasso. But first, has anyone seen anything that they love so much that they want to talk about? Dan, I know you did.
Oh, I've been watching the show Watchmen, which is 2 years old, but it is fantastic. And if you are a fan of the book, or even the movie, I would suggest that you watch it if you can. I was very against the idea of a Watchmen TV show when it was announced, but I was wrong. I'm saying that now publicly.
Wow.
It's absolutely fantastic. A wonderful show on its own, a great continuation of the ideas of the book. And I would say, if you have not read the book, read it before you watch the show, because I can't imagine you would have any idea what's going on. But the book is one of the best things ever written. So you'd be doing yourself a favor by
Dan's
reading it.
Dan's giving you a gift, everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
He's actually going to send anybody who wants it the the show.
Email him at...
Yeah, P.O. Yep. Box. send a self-addressed stamp.
4 to 6 weeks.
Dial Klondike 5.
You sure. Also get to be the beginning of the Gene Smart revolution.
That's, I know.
Taking
well,
over the world again, apparently.
And I think this is the... she was on Fargo, I believe, which I also watched. And so she was fantastic on that as well. But yeah, she apparently is just doing good work left and right. So yep.
And has and been I'm on board. Consistently. It's just that we hadn't known it.
So to Michelle, she's a has-been. But the rest of us like her.
No. But it seems like she is definitely having a moment.
She is definitely having a moment.
Totally deserved it because she's unbelievable.
On she's having a genissance.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. What?
It's like a renaissance,
but her name being Jean.
Jean.
Sure.
I heard Gina, and I was like, that's not even her name.
She's having Gina sauce. And it's what the kids are saying when you have an acting career that spans.
Yeah.
Sure.
Dude, I'm steeped in the Gina sauce.
Oh, that's so great.
That Danny Aiello really had a Gina sauce.
I miss him.
In terms of starting things, I guess, years behind, I just started watching the Baroness Von sketch show, which is four very funny ladies doing what you would guess is sketch. I really like it. I don't know if any of you guys have seen any of it yet.
No, I haven't seen it. Although I did just start watching a couple episodes of the Black Lady sketch show.
Oh, yeah. That's also on my list. I'm enjoying it. It's the type of thing where I watch like three episodes in a row because it's just fun. It's a true sketch show. Like some sketches are 10 seconds. Some are like 2 minutes, but there's almost nothing that goes like, there's no complex long sketches. It's very much like you would almost expect to see like in a black box theater. I'm really digging it.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nothing too exciting. Central Park season 2 just came out and just only did one episode of that. It's on Apple TV. Have we talked about Central Park before?
No, I'm not familiar.
No, is it with Jennifer Aniston?
Oh, no. Guys. Oh my God.
Girl.
We haven't talked about girl. It is an animated show from Lauren Bouchard, who is one of the creators of Bob's Burgers.
Mm. Okay.
And Josh Gad and somebody else. And it is a musical about a family that lives in Central Park Castle because the dad is the manager of Central Park. The dad is played by Leslie Odom Jr. and the mom is Katherine Hahn. And the son is Titus Burgess from the Kimmy Schmidt. And the first season, the daughter is played by Kristen Bell, but then she backed out of it after there was diversity issues. She said, no, thank you. I am not. Because they are a blended family. Mm-hmm. I think that's the right term. I have to look it up. I apologize if it's not. And then Stanley Tucci plays a little old woman
Shut
who
up.
Is trying to take over Central Park. And Daveed Diggs is her maid sidekick, or sidekick, not psychic, who hates her but also wants to inherit all of her fortune.
Wow.
And lastly, Josh Gad plays like a Our Town type narrator who is like, he breaks the fourth wall, but he's also involved in the story. And if you like musical theater and you like cartoons, you'll love season one. It's so good. It made us like cry. Season two so far is okay. The first episode had a really great rap about Weehawken. It's so good. I don't encourage you to look up the songs before seeing the show, because oftentimes the show will, you know, the song lends itself to the show and can spoil some things. But there are some really great, like the daughter has a, she likes to draw comic books, and she falls in love with a boy played by Eugene Cordero, who's an old UCB guy.
Yeah.
There's a song about being a hero that is like so good. So yeah, that's the okay. So watch that.
Yeah, I think I know what my rest of my day is going to be.
Yeah, just check it out. There's only like 8 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's a lot of work, animated and musical. Like that just sounds like production for days.
It's the songs are written by a bunch of different people. Like one, Sarah Bareilles does a song or two.
Wow.
The people who did Avenue Q do a couple songs.
Oh yes.
There's other people that I'm not remembering, but you know,
you forgot that they also did Frozen.
Yes. Is that?
This is where Luke realizes why the snowman is in this one.
Wait a second.
Oh,
and
that's
Kristen
why there's
Bell.
A snowman. Yeah.
Wait
Central Park
a
has
minute.
A snowman.
Wait a second. There's no Hamilton references. That's the only thing I keep waiting for. But
that might be
oh,
for
it's
the best.
Coming.
Yeah. No, but there's the thing that in the Weehawken song, they're like, "Oh, this is where Aaron Burr shot Hamilton," and they just kind of there's no wink of the camera, which was, I think that's for the best. Right. I gotta say, I think
it's gotten a lot of exposure.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, but people know about it.
But the in general, the wink at the camera, I don't know. It may have been done too much.
In life.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is you know, I'm going to pause that for our next episode because that's something I do want to talk about. But I'm going to put a pin in that.
Okay, pin in, and then that.
Yeah.
I watched a Peacock show about one of my favorite serial killers. I don't have favorites, guys. They're all great.
Is it Girls 5 Eva?
Yeah. It's called John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, my God.
He's terrible.
Yep.
And, guys, he's horrific. So that was a real good one. Dan, I know you're going to want to watch that as soon as we get off of this.
I mean, you had to watch a show to learn that John Wayne Gacy was
I know.
Horrific.
I was going to say, what else could there possibly be to learn?
I just watched a show called Oxygen. It's about air.
Yeah.
We need it.
I just watched a show called Adolf. Turns out, not a good guy. Very bad.
Not a nice man.
You guys will never understand who Stan and I are, and that's fine.
I lean a little more in their camp. I love these shows, but you seem a little surprised that he's terrible. I went in knowing that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised, but there were some stuff that I was a little surprised about.
He was left-handed.
He could write with his toes.
Is that real?
The other thing, no.
Oh.
The other thing, thank you, though. Thank you for letting me.
He wrote with his toes in blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, in other people's blood, not his own. But I also will put a pin in it for the next episode as well. But I started watching Spaced. Obsessed.
Oh, okay, good. All right, let's put a pin in that because that's good to talk about.
One thing I did watch during the break, and I don't know if I talked about it, but speaking of Peacock, Girls 5 Eva. Definitely check it out.
You like, okay.
Yeah. I liked it. It's fun. It is.
And Renee
Goldsberry. Yep. It is 30 Rock Light, but it is fun.
That's
and
fine.
Paula Pell
is the best.
A hidden gem. She's
truly.
Yeah.
Truly. Talk
so
about a renaissance.
Good. Yeah.
This woman has been doing it for Eva. Speaking of Eva.
Behind the scenes. But
and,
like.
And. You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Funny.
It's funny, the name Girls 5 Eva, the 5 Eva scratches my brain every single time I hear it, because I know it's forever, but it's one above, so it's 5. But it honestly like hurts my head just the tiniest bit every time I hear it.
Well, all their songs do that too, which is great. All the songs you're like, it's not, what?
Oh, that's nice. All right, should we talk about what we're here for?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Okay. All right, everybody. I know you have been waiting patiently. What, Dan?
Oh, I was going to say, No. I was going to say, we're going to talk about Ted Lasso.
Yes!
Season one.
Yes!
And I just, for the audience, not that anyone would care, but I unfortunately could not get the Apple TV working.
Tell them
so
why.
Michelle was kind enough to give me her password, but for various technical reasons, I couldn't get it to work. Doesn't matter. But the point is, go on.
No, I was going to say, have you seen the movie Major League?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So then you've kind of seen Ted Lasso.
Yeah, well, I also watched a 3.5-minute recap on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So I got the gist. I just didn't get the jokes.
Plot-wise.
I know the plot of what happened.
Yeah,
yes.
It's very analogous to Major League.
Right. Yes. That part I did understand. So
who was the coach in Major League? Not that we're talking about.
Well, no, the coach was fine. It was that they were trying to have the team be bad mm-hmm. so they could sell it.
Yeah.
In Major League, and that's
the heartwarming part is they all come yep. together.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And then they overcome it, and then
yeah.
I don't even know if we can talk about Ted Lasso because the whole time I'm just going to be like, I love it so much. I just love it so much.
Would you say it's better than New Girl? Dun dun dun.
No, because I have more of New Girl. If season two is as good as season one,
well, cast of Ted Lasso, you guys can go home. We had a surprise for Michelle, but forget it. Sorry, guys. Yeah, even you, Ted.
So anyway, so all I want to say was I'm going to be quiet during this episode because I don't really know what you guys are talking about. But this is Ted Lasso season one. It aired on Apple TV. It's developed by Bill Lawrence, famous from Scrubs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jason Sudeikis, Joe Kelly, and Brendan Hunt. And the premise is American Ted Lasso, a coach of college-level American football, is unexpectedly recruited to coach an English Premier League team, AFC Richmond, despite having no experience in association football. And you guys, take it away.
The first thing that I want to talk about is that he became the football coach for soccer football because of his dance.
Yeah.
That's why she picked him, and I am okay with that, and I understand
She picked him as terrible, though.
I know that.
She thought he was a buffoon when she saw the dance.
I'm going to jump right in, because yes, when I first saw the pilot, I was like, oh, this is Major League. There is a very powerful woman who wants to destroy a team.
For vengeance.
Right. Not ironically, but funnily enough, in Major League, it was the 80s. So she's like, I want to put a baseball team in Miami and I have one. So they're fine. So she brings in basically somebody to sabotage, which is Ted Lasso.
Sabotage.
And I was like, oh, I know where this is going. I was wrong. I was wrong. I love that they, I mean, we're going to get into some spoiler territory.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do not listen further if you don't want to know everything, because I'm sure we're going to go to the very end.
They, you know, I thought the woman would be the villain and she's not. And mm-hmm. they take care of that pretty quickly, because that could easily turn into a love, will they, won't they situation. I'm glad that they do kind of get a will they, won't they with him, Ted Lasso, and the manager, but they get away from that, right? I mean, I
don't know that they get away from it. I don't think it's resolved at all.
It's not an immediate thing, but I wouldn't be shocked if they got together in season two.
Same.
But I do have to say, I spent a day, I mean, in shows where that's what you're expecting, they fooled me several times. I was like, oh, they're gonna, oh, wait, no, they're not, never. Oh, wait, they might. Like, they did an excellent job. I do think she's ultimately, because Ted doesn't have anybody right now. So if you're going to look over the span of the cast, she kind of makes the most sense.
Yeah. But if you even have to have that.
That's a good point. And it almost might reach a point like when he has his panic attack and she's sitting outside the bar with him. Yeah. I almost rather they're just good friends, like, because that's a deeper relationship, you know?
Yeah.
But I have a feeling. Well, I don't know. Who knows how long the show's going to go on? But I have a feeling that if it goes like more than another season, that they might wind up getting together.
Well, I hope they go only 4 seasons. If they go farther, then I'll still love it.
How many seasons did New Girl do?
9. And it was ill-advised.
they didn't listen to any of your texts.
Nobody.
Here's something I didn't know. It was based on commercials.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and I didn't watch that commercial. I meant to.
I didn't either. I didn't know anything about it. And I don't know. I'm assuming in the commercials, his like brand of optimism comes shining through, or is that something they did for the show? Does anybody know?
Yes and no. I mean, it's definitely more kind of sketch comedy. The joke is just that it was to, because NBC was going to start showing Premier League. So it was to introduce Americans into the Premier League soccer. Ted Lasso is a football coach, and then he suddenly, without explanation, is coaching this Premier League team and doesn't understand any of the rules and keeps trying to, you know, do football, American football related stuff. And I think, I know there is like that, he's doing like a press conference.
Yes.
Where they keep asking him all these questions and he keeps answering them incorrectly.
Yeah.
He's talking about American football as opposed to, you know, they say like the pitch and he's like, I think that's baseball or whatever. And so I know that happens in the show. So I think that's basically the gist of it. But
is
there's
Coach Beard in it?
There's no plot to it. It's basically, again, it's basically just like a sketch comedy sort of thing where it's like, what if American football coach was teaching soccer? Think of all the things he'd get wrong.
So many things.
And that's really it. So,
and they did, you know, I feel like what I thought was, like going into it, what I thought was going to happen was he doesn't know anything. And despite himself, he was going to have a winning team, and they didn't do that. What they had was he understands how to coach, and if he doesn't understand the rules, he knows people, and he understands how to surround himself with people who are better than him at certain things.
He's Obama, basically.
Sure, yeah.
I'm sure that would be Obama's take. Yeah, I'm not very good, so I surround myself with people who are good at things.
He knows people.
Yeah, I mean, he, especially the optimism.
Yeah, that to me is the shining moment of the show. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. It's just his optimism and his naivete are hand in hand, but he's not dumb.
No,
he's not unaware. Not at all. And there's and I've always had to. I've always said since I was little, I've been talking about Ted Lasso.
Since I've been talking about Ted Lasso, my grandfather.
I remember back in '85. There's a scene. So one of the reasons the owner wants to get vengeance is because she's just broken up with her ex-husband, who
because he cheated on her.
He cheated on her. Yeah,
repeatedly.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's
not
like
a good guy.
No, he's a cad, I believe they call them. He's just one of those like rich...
And he's played by Anthony Head,
yes,
who is from that show
Buffy.
With the Buffies.
The Buffies, yes. What's the spinoff?
The Buffies. Hey Buffy. Hey Buffy.
Hey Buffy.
He is this guy who's like acts like he's three steps ahead and he's rich
right.
and he's smarmy and
he's
whatever.
A cock.
He's a real cock dick.
Yeah.
But he, he's a wenka, I believe they call him. But so there's a scene where they decide to play darts, and it's like
the best scene in the entire series.
Yeah.
Yes.
I watched it again last night.
It's so good. And it's, I forget what they bet for, but it's.
I'll tell you exactly what they bet for.
What do they
for.
Bet for again?
Yeah. So Ted says, you know, you got these darts here and that seems fun. Do you want to bet that if I lose, you can pick the starting line for the next two games, the last two games. And if I win, you can't come back to the owner's box for the rest of the season.
Yeah, because he's been like harassing the
or harassing.
The
Either way.
Yeah, either way.
He's been painfully cruel to the woman who was actually the bad guy.
Cruel.
So
yeah.
Which of course is a great layer.
Her name's Rebecca.
Add.
Yep. She also, by the way, was in Game of Thrones.
Who did she play in Game of Thrones?
Hannah Waddingham.
Do you remember when was it Cersei? Being led through the town and they're saying
they shaved her head and she's
she's the taller like maid behind her, the nun I think, who rings the bell.
Oh wow
yeah,
so she had a nothing role.
Well, she's very, that's one of the first things I said about her, besides the fact that she looks like she's chiseled out of stone. She's really very
so
lovely,
fucking beautiful.
She's also like 8 feet tall.
Well, she's got an Amazonian build.
Yes, she
I
does.
I mean, she's
very muscular. She's got a Wonder Woman style, like you said.
Yeah. But, and the five
what were we talking about? It's getting very warm in here.
I am touching myself right now.
Yeah, that's Sorry. Pretty much your minute 15 into the episode.
I was going to... What's happening?
Dan, I think Dan dropped off, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm here. Yeah.
I'm here. I'm just,
Dan's like, can we please just talk about true crime?
She would give John Wayne Gacy a run for his... I don't know what that means.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I do.
Anyway.
Anyway, I hope this is our review.
Yeah. No, so the dart scene, you know, it's also a way for Ted to kind of show the boss that he's on her side.
He knows what... And he also knows what he's doing.
He knows... Well, he knows that the boss, Rebecca, has been... mistreating him, and he understands, which is amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing that he does not want to seek revenge in any way. He's just like, yep, I get it. You want to be vengeful? I'll help you. You know, let's do better. Let's not be vengeful, and which is amazing. Just in a show is amazing because it's very easy to be like, oh, she's going to do that, then I'm going to do this.
Yeah, there's no spite. There's spite, but it's
not on Ted's part.
Right, but it's. It shows what the world is, and it shows what the world could be.
Yeah. Yeah. And the dart scene, basically Ted explains about his optimism. About
right. How
people,
everybody's
yeah, underestimate him.
His whole life, and it used to bother him.
Yep.
But and then he realized.
Yeah, he ran headfirst into it, and it makes him such a unique character. And I feel like...
Be curious.
Yeah. And especially during the pandemic. I mean, this was a show that I watched right in the middle of the height of all of it, where the world feels like just a garbage fire. To have a character who doesn't feel phony, doesn't feel cartoonish, and doesn't feel false in his optimism, you know,
right.
there's so many, you know, like,
and the world's not handed to him either.
Yes.
Like, I mean, in the scheme of the whatever, but like he loses he goes because he's going to, in the middle of his wife being like, you know, I don't know, man, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Yeah. And that's why he takes the opportunity. He's not stupid. He knows that this is something that probably won't be great for anyone but him and Coach Beard, who we cannot leave this episode without killing.
Yes.
Brandon Hunt.
Well, I'm not even done with the dart scene yet.
Okay, yeah. Well,
and I want to talk about the ex-wife too. Talk about Ted's ex-wife. But yeah, so the dart scene, it just, you know, and of course Ted does the thing where you're like, he's been playing darts every year since he was like 8, and so he's amazing.
16.
Yeah, okay, there you go. You watched it more recently than I have
last night.
Well, that's still more recently than I have.
Yeah.
And it's just a great scene because it is that, like, what every great sports movie or show does, where, you know, the underdog kind of, again, to use Major League, it's like when Charlie Sheen gets on the mound and they do like a whip around or a zoom in, and then Wild Thing comes on and you're just like, oh, now it's on.
Yeah.
It's just great. I'm not a big sports guy, but man, a good sports movie that does that.
I love sports movies, well, sports shows, anything sports.
For me, the dart scene.
Except for sports.
Except for actual sports.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So bored. Yeah.
For me, did you have something? Are you holding in something?
No. I was going to say, this is so tangential, whatever. Sorry, real quick. I apologize. I had to take my cat to the emergency hospital. He's fine. We thought something was wrong, but it was not. And the particular hospital near us is just like a big open room. And so they were operating on a dog, and they weren't doing like cutting surgery. He had swallowed a bone, and they were trying to use one of those scopes with a little claw to get the bone out, so they wouldn't have to bring him to surgery. Mm-hmm. And it was literally like, at one point the doctor's like, we got to get this bone or this animal's going to die. and saying things like that.
Gosh.
And I was like, well, I am in an episode of ER, but it's kind of boring. Like, it's just like, it's like the drama is there, but there's no music, and it's just like, he's gonna die. Okay, so suction. Can you just
you don't, yeah You don't hear like the swelling music.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, crash zoom in. Yeah,
yeah. That's my issue with like sports versus sports movies is like that drama's there, but you have to really want to see it. You have to wait for it,
and you have to know what it is.
Yeah.
Like if I go or I watch the basketballs, I'm like, oh, his shoelace seems untied. I don't know what you're doing.
She called the Milwaukee Bucks the Milks last night.
The Milks.
Because they say M-I-L on their thing. She called them Milk. But the reason it was funny was because that was 100% what Michelle thought they were. Anyway, I have to talk about the monologue only because I honestly think it's one of the best monologues probably in all of cinema. The reason I love it so much is everything Lucas said. It's the pivot on the sports thing, but there's other things going on in it. He hints at something that I think we might see in season two, which is he says, like, I don't remember the wording. Michelle probably will because she saw it last night. But the basic idea is, like, before I had this come to Jesus optimism, I saw this sign. And then I go, what were you like before you had this come to Jesus optimism? And the other thing he says, which I absolutely loved, he essentially says to the dick owner who cheats on the wife, like, if you had it all considered me an equal, you would have known I'm very good at darts because I would have told you. But you were so fucking smug that you just assumed you would beat me. And he doesn't say it that way because he's a lot nicer than I am. Yeah. But like that thing of like, all you had to do is ask, but you didn't, you were so far above me that you just thought you had me. You know, I just loved that so much. And the very last part about it too is the initial bet is $10,000. Ted doesn't take that. He takes get out of the box office because he's Ted.
Oh, right.
$10,000 is a lot to Ted Lasso. He didn't take that because he instead wanted to get him out of the box seat so that his boss could be happier. Yeah. It's insane. Like, the character is insane.
Well, that's...
insane great is what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, but, like, it could easily sway into a cartoon character, and it doesn't. And I also love that he gets panic attacks.
Yeah.
Because it makes him more human. But I'd be very curious to know how they made the show, because I feel like there's a lot of cliches that instead of just wiping them away and doing a 180 on them, they just kind of let's go a little bit over here. Like the groundskeeper who knows everything about sports or knows everything about soccer, and
Nathan,
right? And so he's the groundskeeper, and he's making comments, and it's that cliche of like, oh, the guy who know, similar to the speech, right, the guy who everybody thinks is a loser is actually a great strategist, and blah blah blah. And within minutes, like the cliche would be he'd know the whole time, and then the very last game he'd get a chance and win the game. And within the first episode, they're like, you know what, why don't you come in and help me out? That's it. And it's not a 180.
And they still don't win. They do better, but they're not winning still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's not a 180. It's just a like, okay, let's just play this a little differently. And, you know, I feel like because you had somebody like Bill Lawrence who's been doing this a while and Sudeikis, who knows what he can play, you have these characters that are like grounded a bit more in
the depth in each of them. There is a backstory. They didn't have to invent it. Like, I think it was on the page, which is not often the case.
Yeah.
Like it was just, I think The Office does that, and they talk about how they do a lot of backstories for themselves. But I feel like with Ted Lasso, you can feel the texture of what their life experience was before they even wrote the show, which it's fucking mind-blowing how good it is.
It's the difference between, and I hate to say this because I do like him, but it's like Ed Helms versus Sudeikis. I feel like
it's 100%. I mean, because Rutherford Falls, did you watch it?
I've watched some of it. I don't want to badmouth
it. I want it to be so good, and it could have, and it can be. And I believe that in season two, it can be. Like, it can come up to it, but they leaned so heavily on, it's like what they didn't do with Ted Lasso. So I really think that's a good equation.
I think that Ed Helms is a talented guy.
He's fucking great,
but he doesn't have, you don't go along with his charm like you do with Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. Like
but also they lean too hard on the charm for Ed Helms when it's a community piece. It's an ensemble, whereas Ted Lasso is a little stronger, but it's still an ensemble.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just doing the Ed Helms comparison. I love Ed Helms, by the way. I think we all do. I can tell we're all, like, none of us wants to say anything bad because we all like him so much and think he's so great. He does tend to play a character who gets, there's like a little wrinkle of irritation at his baseline that it makes it really hard to 100% be on his side.
Yeah. Yeah. There is, like, you kind of, I don't know, like, I don't root for Andy Bernard to succeed.
Yeah, well, it's funny rewatching those. God, he was awful for a really long time.
Yeah.
And even when he goes on the boat at the end of the thing, it's like, you were a terrible boyfriend and a terrible person.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
You do not deserve to have anything when you come back.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about The Office, which I will talk about as well.
Sure.
Cool.
Well, speaking of ensembles, let's talk about some of the characters because so great. And the one thing I do want to say about the ex-wife, because the ex-wife is in it for 2 seconds, and it goes with the thing I'm saying. They could have done the thing where he's so optimistic that he married an asshole, but she's not.
No, she's not.
It's just a little. She's just like, hey, I can't take the optimism. And, or I'm in a negative
place. Thought I could go along with the optimism. Yeah.
That,
is what,
to me, also plays along to maybe he wasn't always quite this way. Like, maybe he didn't start at the marriage. I mean, it could be the thing, like you're saying, Michelle, where it's like, I thought I could handle it and I couldn't. But it could also be like, hey, you weren't always like this. Like, you're really, like, leaning into it. She never says that, but when I was watching it, I was like, maybe it's just that he's getting more so that way.
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I took it as like, because he feels like such a magical character, like a magical optimist, that I took it like her saying, hey, like, I've seen behind the curtain and I'm not happy with what I've seen, or I can't go along for, like, I can't keep viewing the world through rose colored glasses like you do. Mm-hmm. I need to get off this train. Which I think is such a, again, you know, it's the cliche is the asshole wife, and they could have been like 180, she's super optimistic too, which would have been cartoonish, but they did ground it in such a way that she's just like, this just isn't working for me and I need to work out some stuff without you, which I thought was amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's funny thinking, I really like your idea of like it's, they lean a little into things that are cliche, but then they just don't press on them. They don't take them to fruition. Because remember, after the divorce papers are signed, he gets very drunk. And he yells at Nathan. Is it Nathan he yells at?
Yeah.
That could have been like a theme, right? Like, he's such an asshole and now they have to fix it. He didn't. He yelled at him. He apologized the next day and they got over it. You know? Oh,
an apology was so sweet.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Oh,
so
watch it again.
I know. It's so good. It's so good.
Coach Beard. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to pick a player, but Coach Beard is certainly fine as well. He is the great grounding weirdo in the weirdest way. What a weird two words to put together, but he totally is. He brings Ted back to earth a little bit. And is also, I feel like he's a Conan O'Brien character, like, you know, like from the show, just because he's very odd, you know, but I like him so much.
You know, it's interesting that he is Coach Beard, but he is like Coach from, in a weird way, from Cheers too.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
He's that secondary character that gives another layer of depth to the main character.
Yeah.
Ted from the Cheers, what's his real name? Sam. That's his real name. Right with it. But Sam.
Sam Lariat.
It gives him, Sam Lariat, yes. Is that his last name?
Nope,
it's Sam.
Malone.
Malone.
Remember, like, Malone?
Yep.
Yes.
That was a Luca.
That's so brilliant.
That was a Luca thing.
That was from college. I learned that.
I think about that probably more often than you think I do.
But because I am alone, but he has Coach, and he brought Coach with him because he isn't completely alone, and he does have a heart. Like, yeah. And I know that Ted already has a heart, but with Coach Beard, he also has a brain. So now I'm going to bring in the Wizard of Oz.
Well, Ted has a brain.
But
you're right. Those two guys together make the perfect Coach.
Mm. Yes.
Right. They could not do it without each other. Like, the charisma that Ted has to encourage his players to, like, Ted doesn't always know what plays or what things to do for the players. And that's what he has Coach Beard to tell him in his ear. But Coach Beard doesn't have the
emotional.
They would never rally behind him.
Yeah, he doesn't have the French je ne sais quoi of Ted Lasso.
Nor the English je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, the certain, I don't know what.
How you say?
The thing I love about Coach is there's towards the end, he's like, hey, guess what? I'd like to win a game or two. Because Ted Lasso honestly says, like, I don't care if we win. This is how I want to play. I want a good, clean fight. And he's like, you know what? I'd like to win. And it's like, guess what? So to all your players, you know? Well,
that's what's also great, too, is he is a grounded character in depth. You know, like, he's this fully knowledgeable sports coach. He knows.
I'd say guru.
A guru. Yes, he's a guru, but he's also human. You do see that scene where he says, I want to win.
Yeah.
You see him. He is so bad with women.
Yeah, the chess match, the stuff is great.
So great to see, you know, and it's just, again, it is a subtle shift. Like, it could be, you could do like the Big Bang Theory where you've got a character like Raj, who's like this brilliant, brilliant guy, but physically cannot talk to women, mm-hmm. like has to clam up. And instead you've got a guy who's just like, he's this guru at sports, but with women, he's just like, I'm just not firing on all eight cylinders.
He's not emotionally available.
Yeah.
His bad.
And that's it.
And Ted is just emotion.
Yep. And that's it. And they complete each other.
They do. And I want them to get married.
I think they
are married in a way.
Well, I think that they complete each other in a way that allows them to. Well, maybe that is marriage. I don't know.
I don't know. I've never been. So,
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hello, my friend. I kid. I also, I'm sort of pivoting because now my mind is just like flooding with bits from the show. But like the other thing I love about Ted in terms of grounding and all is like, he's not afraid to speak his mind, like the way he hates tea. And he's like, oh, yeah, this tastes like mud water. I would never drink this. This is awful. Like, that is not something that your classic nice guy would do, right? Like, he doesn't, you're afraid to hurt feelings. So you don't say stuff like that.
And he knows I watched a thing on TikTok that was like top five Ted Lasso clips. And there's some really great moments.
How long does this TikTok go? I thought it was only like 5 seconds.
No, it's like a minute. It's just little things, but it was the one where
it's like 12 vines.
Yeah. Where he's passing out the little toy soldiers.
Yeah.
And he gives it to the one player and the player's like,
Jamie.
And he's like, I appreciate this, but
not Jamie.
Oh, I forget who it is, but the player's like, I appreciate this, but
Sam,
the American military has not been real great to my country. And instead of being upset or even like overly apologetic of like, oh my God, I offended you, blah, blah. He's like, got it. Imperialism. Cool, cool, cool. And the player too is like, imperialism. Great. But we're on the same page. Let's move. Like, that would have been a 20-minute whole thing in another sitcom where he would have to learn a lesson about how to whatever. And I'm not actually, you know, again, in this day and age, race relations and that sort of thing, we do need to improve upon that. But I felt like that was a nice moment where he was like, got it. I see you're doing a nice thing or trying to do a nice thing. I see you trying to accept it, but I also understand you're upset with it. I'm going to respect your space. I respect your space. Let's move on. And it was just a really nice moment. And then the other moment that was in this clip that I really like was the Rachel's assistant, who's like the little schlubby guy, makes some sort of pun.
Rebecca, and his name is Higgins.
Higgins. Of course it is. He makes some sort of pun as Ted is leaving the room, and he bursts back in through the door.
Yes!
And he's like, hot damn! Right there! You know, and it's just like... I don't know if it's Sudeikis or the character or all of it, but it's infectious. It's an infectious optimism that was just so great. Again, during the pandemic, I think this is like, this is a, if you're feeling blue kind of show, you should watch this and you'll feel better.
I don't know if this will make you feel better, but Sudeikis said he was thrilled we had a pandemic because it was perfect timing for his show.
Now I don't like
He Sudeikis. Didn't say that. He didn't say that. I do want to talk about Higgins for 1 second because he also falls into our nuanced character because he's incredibly likable, but as his boss points out, he let his old boss cheat on her. He was a cog in that machine because she's unnecessarily cruel to him, although maybe not unnecessarily because of what
he would take her out to lunch while her husband was fucking some young chick.
But the thing, he possibly grows the most of anybody in season one because he essentially goes from evil underling to bought into Ted. And he's like, hey, to the boss. Is it Rebecca's the big boss lady?
Yes.
He's like, hey, we can do something special here. And she, of course, has so much going on that she has no interest in that aspect. But he is just so many levels to a tertiary character, you know?
Yeah. And also, it's funny you say that too, because I liked that the hatred towards him is because of that complicit behavior.
Yeah.
That it isn't her.
She's not just a cardboard villainous.
Exactly. Exactly.
She's a villain because she was so deeply hurt.
Right. But also, I find that their relationship isn't just general spite. It's a very specific.
And I think she loved him. I think she genuinely loved him before she figured out, oh shit, you were helping him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they would go out.
Well, because the betrayal is such a deeper burn, right? Like if she didn't like him, she wouldn't care as much.
But he wasn't just Higgins, her husband's secretary. He was Higgins, her friend.
Yeah.
Because they would go out to lunch and you have that special relationship with. As an assistant, the wives, you do have a relationship with these people, that sometimes you get bonuses because of the wives kind of thing. And I going to that, sort of in a way, I feel like this show is a lot about father issues too, in a way.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to bring in Jamie, the hotshot soccer player, football star, who we learn is such a fucking cock and just so cocky and dates Keely, who is the best.
Yeah.
But when you find out about his relationship with his father, that broke me. It was so heartbreaking when Ted is walking by the other team's locker room and Jamie could have killed and just scored the big, but he made the extra pass, which was what Ted had been trying to do. And seeing Ted's face and seeing Jamie's face, it was just, it's so good, this show. It is so good.
And
grows. And Jamie grows.
Yeah.
Everybody grows just a little.
And they did what early Scrubs did, which was just small moves, to make it good, as opposed to the Aaron Sorkin walk and talk reveal, I don't know, that sort of thing.
Do we know how big the writing staff is? Just because there's so much thought in this, is it a staff of eight or I hope it's not two people who spend 20 hours a day because they would probably go insane. But I'm just continually impressed with how many layers there are.
Coach Beard was one of the writers.
He is. Yeah. I actually read an interview with him. He seems like he's not that different in real life than the character. And I say that in a really happy, joyful way. But
I'm trying to find it for you right now, everybody. And then Roy Kent, so lovely. The
old-timer?
The older soccer star. Yeah.
So great.
Such a great. Yeah, and the funny thing, I'm sorry, Luke, this is quick. He doesn't look older to me, like, but to them, he's an ancient, yes. And it's like, that makes sense. In sports, like, Chris Paul is, like, 35, which is, like, a dinosaur, but he looks...
5 years is,
it's, like a lifetime.
Decades.
So,
yeah.
His arc, too, where he was, like, the Jamie, and then he became, you know, grizzled, and I love the relationship he has with Keeley, and I love that it's complicated in a way that is real and not complicated for the sake of being a sitcom.
Yeah.
Like I just finished the show Younger.
It's fun. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it is. They actually, Poison Control has you watch that if you've swallowed anything to induce vomiting.
Yeah,
it's so bad. I'm sorry,
it is, but it's fun.
I don't know anything about this
in a stupid way. I never finished it.
That's why you have such a positive thing, because the final episode is so bad.
That worse than Modern Family?
100%. Oh, 100%.
Oh, wow.
So bad. It's a forced will they won't, like, they've got the will they won't they so far that you're like, just get together or don't. Michelle likes the show, my wife. Because it is, like you said, it is fun to just, because it is just escapism.
It's popcorn.
Yes, it's popcorn. But I equated it to, like, I feel like all of the writers and the executives left by 3, and they turned to the intern and said, like, just make sure there's a script by 5. And they left the room, and the intern's like, so are you guys coming back? And she just wrote something, and they were like, cool, I'm sure it's great, and let's just shoot this.
It's the Brady Bunch of the modern era.
No one read it. Like, it's so whatever. Anyway, the point is, the opposite is with Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Back to the writing staff. Yeah. It appears that there are only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, 10 writers.
That's probably a normal writer's room, I would think.
11 of the episodes were only written by 1, 2, 3, 4. Brett Goldstein joined for 10. But then there was just one episode that none of the original.
There's an episode nobody wrote.
No, but it's just written by, it appears, 4 people that didn't write any of the other episodes.
Ooh, huh.
Isn't that interesting?
That's odd.
And now I want to talk to anyone in that room.
Yeah.
You know, and I know they want to talk to me, too.
They do.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe Kelly. Call me. But that's the guy.
And also, I mean, every room is a little different, but a lot of times, like, basically the whole room writes
each
episode.
Yeah.
And then, well, then you just get a, like, after the fact, it's like, okay, you wrote this one officially, and you wrote that one officially for credit's sake. But in fact, everyone wrote everything.
I thought, and again, I've not been in a writer's room, but I thought the one person who gets the credit takes the initial stab, and then everybody piles
sometimes
on it.
That's what I say, every room's a little different, but honestly, I mean, sometimes I guess maybe like you, if you pitched it,
right.
But there are other times, honestly, where, like, you know, the creator will have every episode and then people will work on it as a group. And just so that, because basically you get paid by the episodes, it's like, okay, this is your episode officially. But in fact, it's, you know, everyone worked on it.
Yeah, I
that
doubt
makes
there's
more sense.
I
than
doubt
my
there has
boss.
Been a show in the last 30 years that has had a single voice. It's almost impossible. I would have. Well, I mean, it could, I guess, if you
I mean, like, a friend of a friend worked on Mad Men, and the way that writer's room worked was they'd break the story together. A writer would go off and write it, hand in the script, and then Matthew Weiner would just rewrite it entirely in his voice.
Right.
And so,
well, and the thing there was, because I'm sorry to interrupt, but the what's his name? Anthony? No,
Matt Weiner.
You're thinking of Anthony Weiner. You're always thinking of Anthony Weiner.
My very good.
I just read a book about the Daily Show. He plays a very heavy part in it. Yeah.
Anyway, he would always be credited on any episode that he worked on, which is pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people were like, "That's not the way it works." Yes, a lot of times the creator will rewrite it, but he doesn't get, or he or she doesn't get credit. You give credit to the original writer because you're taking away residuals from the writer.
So it was a shitty thing to do,
lives
is what
up to his last.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was like, there's no official rule, but it's pretty shitty.
Yeah, and it was shitty to, like, rewrite. I mean, the level of rewrites, from what I understand, was expensive.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's his show. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But the idea, but they're basically like, most writers or most creators do that. If they're going to do that, they just don't take the credit.
Right.
Like, officially. So
I read, speak about this already on an episode of the podcast? Because you could shut me up about the levels of, like, producer, executive producer, blah, blah, blah. Like, when you see all those things, yeah. I've always been like, oh my God, like, what does each of these roles entail? Like, it's, they're kind of just labels. Like, it's almost like being labels. A writer, being a senior writer, being a group writer. It's just pay levels. Like, you, the longer you're there, the higher you, hopefully, if you're good, you escalate. And then, like, you know, you just get producing credits and then you get executive credit.
I worked on a show that had a guy got an associate producer credit. He had never once showed up to the office, literally did nothing, but he was very connected and they needed a lot of like location shoots. And so if they needed to get in somewhere, they would call him. He would call his friend. They would get in and he got an associate producer credit for that. He did literally
life is good
on
the
show.
Great.
So it depends.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, in season 9 of The Office, Jim and Pam are producers because they put a lot of thought into how they wanted their story arc to end. There you go.
Steve Carell's a producer fairly early on in the whole series.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the way that, I mean, it's extra money.
That's the other thing, Dan, I'm sorry, I don't mean to, I'm assuming it's an incentive, right? Like,
it's an incentive and it's a dumb budgeting thing where you can only pay X amount of dollars to the actors, but the producers have no limit.
Right.
So
it's,
you just make the actor a producer and pay them whatever, you know, they get whatever, you know, a quarter of their salary is from acting and the other 75% is from
it's producing. Funny because I work in marketing as a freelancer and I'm hired for whatever the role needs. It doesn't at all change what I'm going to do every day. But like I could be hired as high as an ACD. I could be hired as low as a group soup or just a soup.
Right.
I'm going to get paid the same and I'm going to do the exact same work. And it's just whatever the budget allowed.
This has been another episode of Another Effing Podcast sitcom salaries. Not that I want to end this, but I feel like we've sung so many praises about this that I don't
know
if we're still.
We need you to go out and watch it right this second.
Yeah.
Let me make sure that we've covered everyone. Sam Obisanya. The happiest. He wants to sell joy.
Oh, so great.
Please. Everybody, if you've worked on this, you are wonderful and I love you. I'm in love with you.
The last the person I want to talk about was the guy who comes in midway through, who's the star from, I think.
Danny Rojas. Danny Rojas is the one who wants to sell joy.
Okay.
I apologize. Sam is the, he's from somewhere in Africa and I apologize for not knowing what country. But he is also full of joy. Like, and he wants people to succeed. Like, it's so good. And when they got rid of Jamie, that was so upsetting for me because you could see him starting to break open and be a human being and not just the vehicle to be the star.
Yep.
And I loved it. I loved that they did that because, you know, then there's a foil. But, oh, my goodness. It's just, please, please, please go out and watch Ted Lasso. Just do yourself that favor.
You don't need.
Can I ask guys?
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just
no, no, no.
I was just going to say you don't need to understand soccer or football
Ted
rules or the management or understand the business behind it because I still don't understand. They had Jamie on rental or something, and then if they lose, they go to a different league, which I don't understand. It's fine. You don't need to worry about it. They'll explain just enough for you to get through it.
I won't. I mean, I don't fully understand it either because I do watch Premier League, but not that much. But it is weird. This is something in America we cannot possibly comprehend. Each team is its own separate thing.
Yeah.
And so depending on how well you do, they put you in like a league. But it'd almost be like in baseball, if like a team did really well, it's like, okay, well now you're a minor league.
Yeah.
Team. Like, that's not how it works in America. So, like, it's really hard for us to wrap our head around. But, like, each team is its own separate club, and then they put you into different leagues depending on how well or how bad you're doing.
Yeah.
It's really, again, even just saying that, it hurts my head to think about it. It's really weird. The only thing I want to say, and I don't want to rush you guys, but, I mean, if we're wrapping up, do we want to rate Ted Lasso?
It's the best show we've ever watched.
It's all right.
Maybe we don't because it's so joyous. Maybe we just let it be a little gem. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're gonna new rate it. It's a diamond.
Okay. Math
but not
makes
a blood
me
diamond.
Feel like
it's a. I'll give it a diamond. Sure. I don't know what that means. Okay, I don't know what's.
I'm gonna go triple ruby.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give it a clover and a horseshoe.
Oh gosh, please watch it. And if you hate it, go fuck yourself.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the take. That's the true spirit of the takeaway of the show.
I think that's the tag for season two.
Yeah. Which is out July 23rd.
Yeah. No. All right. Well, I guess that's it. Michelle, you want to take us home?
Thank you so much for listening to another effing podcast about sitcoms. I'm your host, Michelle Lykowski.
I am Stan Lykowski.
I'm Luke Ward.
I'm Dan, the producer.
And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
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 This has been another effing podcast about sitcoms. The music for our theme song is by Ryan Satoy, and the lyrics and vocals are by our own Michelle Lykowski. Our logo was created by Luke Ward. Follow us on Instagram, and if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, well, we'd certainly appreciate it. Another effing podcast about sitcoms will return in this time slot next week.